for us to feel good before we worship God. I think we think, well, my situation isn't in a situation to worship God because things are happening and there's difficulties in marriage and finances and jobs. And God, you don't know. This is the entire Bible is stories of God saying, go worship. Oh, but there's enemies outside our gates. Go worship. Oh, but there's problems in my home. Go worship. That's what God is calling us. He said, worship. Don't wait. Let's worship Him this morning. God, you are so good. God, we lift you up. God, if the highest place I reach is at your feet. God, I just want to know you. God, you are worthy in spite of my problems. God, you are worthy in spite of my situations. God, I glorify you in spite of what's going on in my life. God, I turn to you. I lift you up, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you are good. God, you are good. Oh, God, you are good. Oh, God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The beautiful part about that principle is worship is not dependent on a building. Worship is not dependent on an altar. Yeah, we see that in the Old Testament, but we have free access to God now. Jesus went out of his way when he died on the cross. There was this veil, this separation between who could get in and get offered true worship and connect with God and who had to stay out. And he died and that it just ripped in two. That's why in Hebrews it says we can come boldly before the throne of grace where we can find mercy. Oh, but you don't know my sins, Pastor. You can still come boldly. You don't know what I'm going through. We can still come boldly before the throne of grace. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I want to read a scripture here this morning to get to. I feel like God wants to speak to us. I feel like God is calling us to closer to Him. But I feel like sometimes we're kind of like, I'm good here. Or I'm good here. I feel like God is literally there calling us saying, I've got more for you. Oh, I've got more for you. I want to be closer to you. And we stand off and we're just a little hesitant. Praise God. I want to read from Philippians 3 this morning. Before you're seated, I want to read from Philippians 3. Paul is writing in verse 12. I love Paul. He's so honest. He says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected. He's saying, I'm not perfect. I haven't figured this out. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself as to apprehended. I haven't figured this all out. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are ahead, I press. I don't stand back. I'm not kind of like, well, maybe that's for them. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Church, I want to talk to us this morning about being called up. We are called up. We are called to closer relationship with Jesus, and it's time to stop standing back. It's time to stop standing afar off, and it's time to go up. Praise God, you can be seated this morning. I want to encourage you that whatever you are going through, whatever situation you are in, yes, come to the house of God. Always. The house of God is important. But also, the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. And so when you are at home and you say, you know what? Whew, like things are happening. This is real. I'm in my head. I got things in life. We can worship him in the midst of our problems. We can praise him in the midst of our problems. And his presence is there in the praises of his people. Praise God. There's this concept we talked about in Philippians 3:14. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. There's this concept in Jewish culture, this concept of ascending. They have this idea of ascending. They might call it, they would call it making aliyah. That's their phrase. It's like this journey of ascending. Now, we might think like an elevator or an escalator or ascending into heaven, and we'll get there. But what they understand is that Jerusalem was at a high elevation in that country. And if you were going to make the trek to go from your home to the city of God, maybe to offer sacrifice, maybe to bring something, to connect with God, you were going up. Jews knew the idea of making aliyah. They knew the idea of going up. They could see it physically in their daily life because of the geography of that area. When Jesus was in Galilee, he had to go up to Jerusalem. It's a physical thing. They would be making an ascent into the city of God. Church, I believe God is inviting us and has been, always has been, inviting us closer to him, to be close to him. He is inviting us up out of our troubles, out of our sins, up to relationship with him. There's a story early in Exodus. Moses, we've heard the story. You've seen the pictures maybe of Moses in this burning bush. There's a bush burning, and we know the people are in Egypt, and they're in bondage by the Egyptians. They're slaves, and life is horrible. And Moses turns aside to see this bush, and this is what the Lord says to him. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. From early in the nation of Israel, we see this concept where God is calling his people up. It's before that, too, if you want. Abraham went up to sacrifice his son Isaac. Jacob was called up to experience God. You see this idea. Go read Joseph and his brothers. Joseph went down to Egypt, and his brothers went down to Egypt to meet him. And then they went up to get their father, who went down to Egypt, and then they got stuck there. And now God's calling them back. God's telling Moses he has to come down and deliver his people and bring them up from a land, from that land, to a land that is good and large land flowing with milk and honey. We're seeing this idea from God that he's not just bringing us up where the air is thin, it is thin. He's bringing us up to a good life, to relationship, to a connection with him. And it'd be cool if the story stopped there. That's still a great story. But today I want to go through three stories. I want to see three stories where God specifically, there was a calling up and the people refused. And I want to look at the perspective of maybe where we are and where they are and God's perspective and our perspective and how we think of these stories if we were to put ourselves in them. The first story is after they come out of the land of Egypt, they cross over the Red Sea through the Red Sea. And you've seen, you know, the movie, the Ten Commandments and all that. There's this Mount Sinai where the law is offered up. The Ten Commandments are given. And in Exodus 19, verse 4, I'm reading from the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. It says this: God is talking to Moses. Now let's pay close attention to the wording here. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you will carefully listen to me and keep my covenant, he's talking to his people now. He says, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples. Although the whole earth is mine, you'll be my own possession. But he doesn't just call them to family. You're going to be my family. You're going to be my possession. He says, and you will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. God is calling his people to be priests and a holy nation, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, this seems a little bit weird when you've read through the Old Testament, because the priestly was a select group. You could only be a certain amount of people. And it wasn't instituted in this moment yet, okay? So it wasn't there. But what we see in this verse is God is calling all his people to be a kingdom of priests, to be a holy nation. And then he says some things. And in verse 13, listen to these words. No hand may touch him. And so I should fill in a little bit. He says, put a border around the mountain. Nobody can come near the mountain. Because no one's clean. Like, you got to be consecrated. And so he's talking about being consecrated. And then, okay, he says, no hand may touch him. If he is, he will be stoned or shot with arrows and not live, whether animal or human. And he says, and when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, okay, wait at the border, and when the ram's horn sounds a loud blast, they may go up the mountain. God's desire was for his people to be close to him. His desire was not for his people to stand aloof, to stand aside, to stand back. There was an invitation for them. Yes, it wasn't the same type of invitation as Moses, but he was calling them to more. He was calling them to be closer. And we see it in the early verse where he says, you're not just the people that are chilling back that listen to the priests. He's like, I want you all to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. They're supposed to consecrate themselves. And it says, when the trumpets sound, they may go up the mountain. We see in this story that God is inviting the people to closeness with him. And then as we read, I'm not going to go through it, but the 16, 17, 18, 19, the trumpet sounds loudly and the people begin to tremble. This is your cue, people. This is your cue. God called you. God wants you to be closer with you. And the trumpet sounds and the people start this is getting a little something in here. There's a spirit of worship. Like, this is a little different. The presence of God starts moving and there's a trembling. In verse 17, Moses brings the people out of the camp to meet with God. The mountain is smoking and shaking, and the trumpet continues to get louder and louder. And the people are like, so Moses goes and talks to God. And God and Moses are talking through the rest of the chapter and through the early parts of chapter 20. But then this, you can just imagine they're still sitting there, I guess. Verse 18, all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning and the sound of the ram's horn and the mountain surrounded by smoke. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. They stayed back. I mean, I might too, right? We might be there. Like, sometimes this God experience, that looks like a lot. Hold on, what's this smoke? Like, am I going to leave? Am I going to smell like smoke? Like, this lightning, could I be struck by lightning? Might I get electrocuted? Like, this ram's horn, what's this going to do? And so they stood at a distance, and they said this in verse 9 to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, they said to Moses, but don't let God speak to us, or we will die. Whew. Moses responded to the people, don't be afraid, for God has come to test you so that you will fear him and not sin. And the people remained standing at a distance as Moses approached the total darkness where God was. The people had heard the thunder and the ram's horns. They saw the smoke and the lightnings, and they stood at a distance after God had called them to closeness. And they said, you know what? You just speak to us, Moses. We're good back here. You go experience God, and we'll chill in the back. We'll let the pastor do the God experiences, and we'll sit back and kind of just wait to see what he has to say. They were afraid. I might be afraid, right? There was a fear of God's presence, but I think also there's a fear of what God's presence would do to them. A fear of being changed. I think the first refusal we see to going up, to following the call that God has for us, is a fear of being changed by God. There's a fear that if I go up, if I draw closer to God, it might change me. But they were called up the mountain. They were called up to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 2:9. He's like, don't forget, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are his own special people. He's literally quoting back to this verse. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Church, we cannot be afraid of being changed by him. Any change that a perfect holy God is going to do in your life is going to be for your better. And so our fears are not rational to the things of God. They're rational to our flesh. And so in that moment, we have the choice to say, you know what? I don't know if I want to be changed. Or to say, you know what? Change is scary, but the change from him's got to be better than the change I'm seeing in my life right now. And so the perspective change is not that God's up there saying, ooh, I got to do some stuff to this person. Ooh, I got some corrections to make. God's like, man, I have so much more for you in my presence. Oh, I'm calling you up, Peter. I want to do something in your life. I want to take away that frustration. I want to help you have forgiveness in your life. Oh, I want to remove that bitterness you have. Oh, but God, that bitterness is so comfortable to me. That thing I get to hold over someone's head is so comfortable to me. And sometimes we sit there and we think that God is doing something evil or mean, and God's like, no, I'm just calling you up. But we're afraid to be changed. We're afraid to come out of darkness and into his light. We cannot be afraid to be changed by him, church. We're created in his image. And while sometimes we leave that image and walk away and we walk down and we walk away, he is still calling us to be more like him. And can I say that the beauty in the changing process of God is that he does the transformation process in your life. If you will follow the call upward, he will begin to change your life. The second refusal we see is when they get into the promised land. This is in Deuteronomy 1. They get there. They're right on the border, so they just had the Sinai experience, and they're still kind of just like all sheepish in a way. They're on the border, and this is what it says in verse 20. I said to you, you have reached, this is Moses retelling the story, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. It's already yours. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and take possession of it. As the Lord, the God of your ancestors, had told you, do not be afraid or discouraged. And so what do? Well, it does, I mean, it kind of looks good, but, you know, we're still a little scared. Let's send some people out there to see what it's like. Like, okay, let's do that. And there's giants in the land. Man, there's some obstacles in the way of this promise. And so they come back and say, we can't do it. Moses says in verse 26, but you were not willing to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord brought us out of the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites in order to destroy us because he hates us. Sometimes we approach our situations, and just because there's an obstacle in the way of the promise, we think, this is God getting me again. Oh, God's out to get me. And God's like, no. There's always obstacles in life. There's always problems, right, Sister Jess? There's always another mountain. There's always another thing that happens, but that doesn't mean God's out to get you. In fact, his promise is on the other side of the obstacle. They saw the giants, they saw the difficulties, and they were not willing to go up because of their fear of the obstacle in the way of the promise. That happens to us. Sometimes we fear the obstacle, and maybe even like them, we blame God. But God's like, once again, his response is not like, ha, let's see how they handle this one. God's like, I've given you a promise, just walk in it. But the obstacles, God, yeah, that's good. You're going to see it even more in this promise when you walk into those obstacles. The obstacle is the way. They were afraid of the obstacle in the way of God's promises. But they were called up to the land. They were called up to be conquerors. They were called up to a land of blessing. Church, we cannot be afraid of the obstacles that stand in the way of God's promises. Multiple times, I love this. Just go read through Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. So many times, Numbers, God's like, I brought you up. out of the land of Egypt. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And God's promises today are the same. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 21, it says, for every one of God's promises is yes. If God makes a promise, it's a yes. You can have it. The promise of the land never changed. Their standing back and their fear of the obstacle kept them from the promise. His promises are yes and amen. Church, I know we have obstacles in our life. But we can't let our fear of those obstacles keep us from the calling of God. We can't let our fear of the things that are in front of us keep us frozen and standing back. Because the truth is not that the obstacle is too great. The truth is that the land is already ours. The promise is already yours. And so we might as well just march into it and follow the call to closeness with God. The third story is a unique story in 1 Kings 12. Now, we know that Saul was king, and maybe you don't, and I'm skipping a lot of chapters. Saul was king, and then King David was king. And then Solomon, his son, was king. And then there was a divide in the kingdom, and there was a Rehoboam and a Jeroboam. And they kind of split up. There's like a church split right away in the children of Israel. And Rehoboam gets the city of Jerusalem, and Jeroboam does not. And he says in his heart, he's worried, verse 26, he says in his heart, well, now the kingdom, they might return to the house of David. They might go up to Jerusalem. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the name of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore, the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it's too much for you to go up. It's too much for you to go up. There's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. It's too much to go up. It's too much to follow the calling of God up. And so let's just worship here. But at the heart of Jeroboam's command or request is a fear. He's afraid of his people being closer to God, but mostly he's afraid that if they go up, he'll lose control. Now, I could preach a message to pastors about losing control and all that. Like, oh, we're afraid of losing control. You know what, though? I think we can all put ourselves in Jeroboam's seat when we say, you know what? God's calling me up, but I might lose a little control. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of the obstacles. But there's also a fear of, what about the control I'm going to lose? What about the power I have? But they're called up to relationship. They're called up to Jerusalem. They're called up to submit ourselves to the mighty hand of God. To trust him and not ourselves, not our control in our lives, but trusting him with control of our life. And can I say that when we give him control, that's where we start to find healing and strength and purpose. Paul says it this way. We read this when we started, Philippians 3:12. I haven't attained. I'm not already perfected. I haven't figured it all out, church. I haven't got the goal. I haven't reached whatever up is. But I'm pressing on because I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. He's called me up and I want to hold on to that. I want to get a grasp of that. I don't count myself as to apprehend it, but I do one thing and I forget the old things which are behind. And I reach forward to the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. The stuff of this earth, the things I'm trying to control don't matter. We wait so eagerly for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. God's not a control freak. He's not. The perception might be that, well, I don't want to go up. God's calling me up. But like, then he's going to have control? Yeah. He would. I've had control of my life. And while at times there's a semblance of order and, you know, goodness, when I have full control, it usually descends into chaos and stupidity. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you have full control and everything's perfect. But it's not that God's up there wanting to control everything. He's wanting us to surrender so he can do a work in our lives. But too often we sit at the base of the mountain and we say, well, we blame God or we think negative thoughts, and God's like, no. Come on up. If the musicians can come, I'm getting ready to close. We see it in Jesus. Jesus came down to earth. I'm not going to say this is perfect exegetical whatever from Scripture. But it's almost like Jesus is like, I keep calling them up. They keep coming up with excuses. I'm going to go down. And I'm going to dwell among them. And then they can experience me here, right? Oh, that judgmental, ornery, mean, control freak God. And what do we see in Jesus? Hey, brother, how can I help you? Oh, are you blind? Let me heal your blindness. Oh, you need a healing? Let me heal you. Oh, you did a sin? Oh, forgive you. Come on, get up and do no sin. Wait, this isn't the God that we thought we knew. It's almost like God is coming down saying, let me show you who I am. Because I'm still calling you up. I'm not calling you to chill on earth with me. Because we see it that he is calling us up to heaven with him. First Thessalonians 4:18. This idea of an upward call, church, it's so much more than just this idea of walking up the hill to Jerusalem. It's so much more than saying, I'm calling my people up out of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. It's God calling us to more. And Jesus gets down. It's like, all those reasons you're standing back, let me get close and just show you those. That's in your head. That's from somebody else telling you that. Can you trust in me? In 1 Thessalonians 4:14, Paul is writing to the church, to a church in Thessalonica. And he starts to describe this new concept. Because we know Jesus came to earth and he died and he rose again and he ascended into heaven. But he promised that he would come back. In 1 Thessalonians 4:14, it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain will, until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who are asleep. He's like, listen, when Jesus comes, there's going to be some people that are dead, because, I mean, there's a lot of people that are dead, right? There's graves everywhere. And there's going to be some people that are living. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. There's another trumpet sound coming. There's another trumpet sound coming. There's another trumpet sound coming, and God's calling us to be ready. He's like, I'm not just calling you for a relationship in this earth, but I'm calling you for a relationship in the second life. He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Comfort. Church, if I'm telling you anything this morning, I'm telling you the call from God up is a good call. It's a wonderful call. If you're standing back, that is not God that's creating your fear. And that's not me judging you. That's me removing reasons. It's not God. It's a comforting word. At Sinai, the people were called to come up to the mountain and meet with God, but now it changes. It's God who descends and sits with the people themselves. No mediator needed. And then he calls us together to meet with him in the air. Can we stand this morning? It seems at times we sit at the base of our mountain. We sit at the beginning of our journey with Christ. Or maybe we started our journey and we took a break and we're sitting there. We sit at the base or the starting point of a relationship with God, and I know he's calling all of us up to relationship with him. I know he's calling us up to live with him. He's called us to sit in heavenly places with him. But too often, the thought rattles around in our brain that God wants us down at the mountain. Well, he must want me down. There's obstacles in the way. He must want me down. I see the lightning and the thunder, and that's a little scary, and that could change me. That must be his sign to keep me down. Too often, we think God wants us down at the base of the mountain. But the only thing keeping us at the base of the mountain is our beliefs. And that's not a judgment, church. That's hopefully a relief to you. We can start thinking, hold on, all my fears, all my worries about pouring myself out and saying, God, I'll start to follow you. I want this relationship. I'll start climbing that mountain. Should be relieving that God is just waiting. The only thing keeping us from following the calling up is ourselves and our fears and our doubts, maybe our feelings of worthlessness. But none of these things are to be feared. In every one of these stories, there was a promise or a command that I will be with you wherever you go. This is your land, it's yours, but there's an obstacle. It's still your land. Too often we stand at the base of the mountain and God is calling us up and we're standing afar off, and maybe it's from fear, but church, there's a calling up today. God has called you up to closer relationship with him. We are called to be a city on a hill. Yes, shining the light of Jesus, 100%, but first it's a city on a hill. As they start to sing, I want to encourage you this morning. This is an encouragement. The calling up is for everyone. The calling up is for everyone. And it's a call to a new land of promise, to a new relationship that's close, to a life-changing experience. And there's nothing to fear. Start walking. Let's take some time this morning. Respond to God. If you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you. You come down right here and I'll have someone pray with you. I'll come pray with you. If you're like, I don't even know how to start my journey. I'm standing at the base of the mountain and I'm a little scared. You come right here. Right here. We'll leave this space open. I'll come pray with you. But if you just want to, you know where you stopped on your journey. You know what kept you from starting. You just come down. Weird analogy because the floor slopes. But come up to the altar. And come give it to God.
Prevent the storm.
Hallelujah.